Begin the current daf himself. Let's cite the daf Tezvav. We begin on last word on daf Yudala Mabez, where the Gemara continues and finishes off elaborating and elucidating the brights that was introduced, again, as asking a stira from the halacha of our mission regarding the regular seder that's done with how a mincha and the flower offering is brought. So the Gemara is up to the part of the brisa, which the person had already taken up the kemitza, the fistful of the flower offering, put into another kli sharis, and put the frankincense on top of that. And that is where our Gemara continues clarifying the halachas of the brisa that says, umaleyu, then they would bring up that kemitz, as we continue on top of Tezva, manal, maktir b'kli sharis, and sacrifice that, and burn that in with the kli sharis on the top of the mizbeach. So on that, the Gemara asks, b'kli sharis maktulay, what do you think? You burn the flower offering with the kli sharis? What, you take the actual earthenware and you burn it on the whatever the vessel is made of, and you burn it on the mizbeach? Say le'emarav, the Gemara says, rather say, maleyu b'kli sharis, you bring it up with the kli sharis onto the top of the mizbeach, le'haktiroi, to then have it burnt. But of course, you don't sacrifice on the mizbeach with the kli sharis. Now that's the girsa that we have. But actually Rashi brings a different girsa and says that the Gemara's question are the words umaktiroi salkataitach. Do you really think that you are going to burn it? And Rashi says not to have the girsa otu b'klisharis maktulei, that what do you think you're going to burn it in the klisharis? Because we always use that type of terminology. Rather, he says the Gemara's question was, you think at this part of the brisa what it's describing is that now you're going to do the haktara? But you didn't yet do what the brisa is soon as we're going to quote that part of the brisa of salting the flour offering. So if it says umolche benoisna gabe ishim, obviously now you're not burning it yet. So what does the brisa mean when it's saying that umale umakteyu beklisharis? Not that the question is regarding burning it with the klisharis, but rather you're not burning the flour offering yet. So rather, as Rashi's girsa has it, eleim umaleu lakti beklisharis, which is that what we mean to say maleu beklisharis means to say you bring it up to the top of mizbech so that after when you salt it, which we're going to describe now, then you'll be able to be maktered. But it doesn't mean when you mean maleu maktira, that as if you're burning it right now, it means bring it up so that it could be burned soon after you do the next other processes that are described in the brisa, which is, as the Gemara quotes from the brisa, umolchei benois negabe ishim, so they would salt the flour offering on top of the mizbech, and then put on top of the fires which are there on the mizbech. The siblings is opposing miyikra. Says v'chol karban minchasa, all your karbanas of flour offerings, b'melech timlech b'gamer, should be salted with salt, and that's how we know that this part of the process. Now then, the brisa said karva koymet. So once that fistful of the flour offering has been sacrificed on the top of the mizbech, so sheireho nechal, and so the leftover, the remnants of that flour offering, could be eaten by the kahanim. So the gemara says menolam. Where do we know that from? The siblings says opposing miyikra. Says v'hikter hakoynes as karas of agreement, that the kohen will sacrifice the commemorative part of the flower offering, which is the kohen's the fistful, and then v'ksiv, the next pasuk says v'aneiseres v'na mincha, what's left over from the flower offering is la'aron ulevanim, it's for Aaron and his children. So we see that it's when that's sacrificed that then they could eat it. Now the Braisa just clarifies regarding this halacha of karav hakoymes, when the kohen's the fistful is sacrificed, which we said in the Braisa that then permits the shirayim, the leftovers, to be eaten. When is it considered that the kemitz was sacrificed to permit the shirayim? So lamar, according to that master's opinion, meaning Rabbi Yechanan, is kadisle, like he holds, as we're surely going to quote, is when the majority of the kemitz has already taken hold of, the fire has taken hold of that. Well, lamar, according to Rabbi Chanina, kadisle, like he holds, as we're going to quote shortly, that when the fire just takes somewhat of a, just burns a little bit of the flour offering, as the idma, like we learned, hakoymitz meimasei mati shirayim b'achila. When is it considered that the fistful was sacrificed to permit the leftovers to be eaten? So on that, Rabbi Chanina, he says mishatishlid by ho'or, when the fire just gets to it and starts consuming it even a little bit. Rabbi Yechanan, he says mishatitzis ho'or berubay, when the majority of it is engulfed in flames, that's already considered that the fistful has been sacrificed. So according to either opinion, is when that will be considered that it was sacrificed to then allow the shirayim by the kohanim to be eaten. Now, then the brisa said, "V'rishoyin hakohanim litan l'toichay yain b'shem levash." The kohanim who eat the shirayim of the flour offering could put in wine and oil and honey. So they must my time. What's the reason? Because Amakra, the pasuk says l'mashcha, which literally means to say for anointing. And this is written in Bamidbar Yudches by the Matnas Kohen, the gifts that are given to the Kohanim. It says, L'chon nesatim l'mashcha, I've given this to you as an anointing, which means l'gedula, which anointing is always for kings and great people. It's given for greatness. What does that mean, that the food that you're eating should be consumed in greatness? is kederach shamalach meichel, just like kings eat, which they don't eat simple flour offerings. They put in wine and honey and oil. That's how Kohanim could eat their remnants of the flour offering. Now, however, there was one clause, as the Brisa says, ve'in asurin ele melech ametz, the only prohibition they have regarding how they're going to eat the shirai hamincha is that they can't make it leavened. Tachsev, like it says in the pasuk, loisei ofe chametz, it says regarding the flour offering, it should not be baked chametz, chelkom their portion. Now, although a simple translation of the pasuk sounds like that this is going on the next part of the pasuk, I mean, the pasuk first says loisei ofe chametz, you can't make it into chametz. Then the pasuk says chelkom nasati oisei, their portion I have given to them meisha kodesh hakadoshim mikachatz v'cha'ashim, meaning to say that the kohanim get their parts of it. But on that, Amr Shimon ben Lakish, he explains, afila chelkom, even their portion, meaning that what the kohanim get, the shirayim, is also, as the beginning of the pasuk says, lo yisiyaf v'chametz, should not be baked chametz. In other words, because they darshan the word chelkom, not just on the next part of the pasuk, which is the simple translation, but even on the words before of lo yisiyaf v'chametz, is also going on chelkom. So you can read it, lo yisiyaf v'chametz chelkom, even their own parts, the shirayim, should not be baked chametz. Now the Gemara continues and resumes to the discussion of our Mishnah, which we contrasted three different differences between regular menachos, flour offerings, and that of the Mechel Soite. So another difference was kala menachos v'chulu, all flour offerings are brought with shemen, oil, and levain of frankincense. So on that the Gemara asks, I mean, besides Mechel Soite, so I asked the Gemara, v'chala menachos tu'in shemen levain, is it really true that every single flour offering needs oil and frankincense? But v'inka minchas chayite, but there is the mincha, the flour offering of a sinner, which comes regards to either a sin of baking, coming into the base of Mikdash when you're Tamei, or regarding the oath of witnesses that was taken falsely, or Shavuos Bitur, which is you make an oath and you don't fulfill your words, where the pasuk there says what's known as Karban Oyla B'Yorid. If you have money, you buy an animal. If as the pasuk says, V'im Loi Tasek Yod L'Shtei Sarim, if you can't afford even the next level of birds, then the lowest is you bring the flower offering. So that's a minchas chayte. There's certain sinners that bring flour offerings. With Rachman, the Torah says, "Meyikra lo yosam alav shemen b'leit nalel levain." It says you don't put on oil and you don't put on frankincense. So how could you say every mincha does? So that the Gemara says, "No, hachikam." This is the way you should be reading our Mishnah. Not that each one is its own point, but rather it's together with the next part of the Mishnah as follows. What the Mishnah was saying was, "Kala manaches tu'in shemen levain." You're right. Generally, every flour offering needs oil and frankincense. Again, in contrast to the Saita. Ubois menachitin. Moreover, they also come from wheat flour. And moreover, ubois soilis, they come from the refined wheat flour. Now, however, there are those, even if they don't have one of them, will have at least one of the other variables, as follows. Minchas chayte, regarding the sin offering, the sin flour offering, you're right. That is an exception to that variable. It doesn't have oil and frankincense, but it comes from wheat and it comes from the most refined flour. And Minchas Omer, so too, regarding the Omer flour offering. Although, yes, it doesn't come from chitin, it comes from barley, but that needs oil and frankincense. And Ubor Geras, it comes from the most refined barley flour. But what it was comparing was, but the mincha saite, eina tu'una doesn't need loy shemen v'loy levayna, doesn't have oil or frankincense. Uba minasar, moreover, comes from barley, uba kemach, and it comes from the meal of the barley, meaning that it's all grinded, it's not sifted and purified whatsoever. So that's what it means to say, it says kala menaches, it wasn't meaning kala menaches just shemen levayna, it was kala menaches, all these things. Meaning if it doesn't have this, it has that, if it doesn't have that, it has this, in contrast to Saita, which doesn't have any one of these milas as a mincha. Natanya learned the Braisa, Amr Reb Shimon, he says, actually, bidinhu shetehi minchas chayte tu in the shem levain. He says, really, based on logic, the sin offering, the sin flower offering, should have oil and frankincense. And the reason is, shelo yehi chayte nisker, that a sinner should not gain, meaning if every flower offering that you're bringing has shem levaina, so why should a sinner, who because of his sin, now actually save and not have to bring Shemel Levayna when he's bringing his flour offering. Now, why is it that it doesn't need Shemel Levayna? Because we don't want him to have a beautiful carbon, meaning he's a sinner. He brings a flour offering, a basic one, but not a beautiful one with Shemel Levayna. Now, moreover, the truth is also logically that is the a sin offering of consuming fats, which actually that's a generic term used for any karban chatas that's brought. The only reason why it's called in general and throughout Shas chatas chaylev is because it's actually the parsha of chatas is written right after the consumption of forbidden fats, where it says in the pasuk kol chaylev chol dam lo yisechelu, shouldn't consume blood or forbidden fats. And right after that, it talks about the parasha of bringing the karban chatas. So any sin is usually called as a chatas chaylev. So the truth is that logically, it should tune in the nesachim. Any karban chatas that brought should require libations, which is a seilas lamincha, which is a tenth of that for a keves, which you bring wine, you bring a quarter of a hin of oil, which is like when you bring a karban ayla, or like you bring a karban shlam, which all these libations on the mizbeach. And the reason is, why is it logical that a chatas should also have that? It's also the same thing like we said before, shleihi chayte nisker, so that a sinner shouldn't gain. So why is it? Again, before we were talking about a flower offering of a chatas, where we said it doesn't have the shem and the levaina, even though logically it should, because we don't want it to be mehudar. Here the same thing is the Gemara saying that why when you bring a chatas behema, don't you bring the sachem like you bring with other animal karbanas that you're bringing? Whereas Rashi says the way we know that it doesn't is because it says in the parsha of nesachem of the libations in Bamidbar Perek Tzvav, it says lafali neder o nedava, meaning something that's brought either as a neder or a nedava requires nesachem, but a chatas or an ashram that comes for a sin and it's not a donation that doesn't require nesachem. So why is it? Why don't you say shleihei chayte nisker? It's again the same reason, shleihei karbana mehuda, we don't want someone that's bringing a carbon because of a sin to have a beautiful carbon, so it gets left out, doesn't merit to have nesachem like you have by other karbanas. Now, however, says the Gemara, v'al chatasi shematzaira v'ashamai, but the karban chatas of a metzaira and his asham, to the nesachem, they require nesachem, which, as actually learned out from, as the Gemara Masechtas Menachos explains, avtzadei aleph, where there's a ribu that we see this from psukim. Now, but what's the reason behind that? That there you do have nesachem when it's a chatas and asham is lefi she'in ba'an al-chet. Their chatas and asham is exeris akasa, but it doesn't come for any sin that the person who has tzaras did, and that's why there's no problem about having his karban mehuda. Now, that Gemara asks, is that really so? That a mitzvah didn't do any sin? But va'amr, b'shemol ba'nachmeinu amr b'yainasin, al-shiva devarim negoin ba'in b'chulu. It's seven different sins that cause a person to have tzaras, as the Gemara explains in Masechtas Erechin, taf tez zayin uman alev. So what are you saying? There's no sin? Of course, chatas asham has to be brought because he's a sinner. And that Gemara says, no. Hasam minige. There, it's through his nega, meaning the isurim, the pain and the embarrassment of having a nega, hudeichaprele. That is what already provides atonement for the sin that caused the tzaras to come in the first place. And therefore, kimaisi carbon, actually when he ends up bringing a carbon after the tzaras is done, that's only lishtaruyi b'kachim hudekamaisi, that's only coming to permit him to then partake from kachim. Whereas Rashi says there are certain tumais that the pasuk requires an atonement to become purified by a zav and a zava, or women that gave birth, and a mitzayra, or a nazir that became tamei, and therefore, since that's not for any sins, that karban chatas and asham could have nesachem. Now, that the Gemara asks El Me'ata, so if that's the reason for differences, if something has nesachem or not, so then chatas nazir, so then the karban chatas that a nazir brings when he finishes his naziris, where he brings three karbanas, a chatas and oil and the shlamim, tehetun and nesachem. That chatas should require libations. The fisha ain't the baal chet, that's also not coming for a sin. He was just a nazir, and also that's exir sakasav. So that the Gemara says, no savala kerebalaza akaper. He holds the one who said that the difference is when you bring a chatas and when you don't, when you bring the sacham or not, is based on if you were a sinner or not, holds like a balaza akaper. The amar nazir nami chetu, who holds that the nazir is also a sinner, as the Gemara there explains, because he pained himself from stopping from partaking of wine, which is considered a sin on some level, and therefore the chatas is brought for a sin, and that's why you don't bring the sachem again, because we don't want a carbon of a sinner to be mehudar, to be beautiful. Now the Gemara continues with the from the Mishnah that he said, Kashem b'chul, just like a saita does a maisa behema, acts like an animal, so her carbon, her mincha, is also the food of an animal, which is barley. So the Gemara says, Tanu Litna Braisa, that Amalahem Rim Lila Chacham, this Rim Lil, as is clarified in the Braisa, said to the sages, Seifrim, Tamid Chachamim, scholars, hinichali vadrashen kemin chamim, leave me and let me expound for you like a chaymer, which Rashi translated as like a button made out of gold, which was used to seal the two parts of the shirt, of the cloth, for beauty. But you have that button. He says, I'm going to really show you the true interpretation of why is it that the Saita Har Mincha, unlike all other menachas, is brought from this coarse barley. So the Gemara in Amud Beis explains that what Ramlil was trying to tell the sages was, because the Shamei L'Rameir D'Kamar, Ramlil had heard that of Rameir's interpretation, which was brought on Daf Ches Amud Beis, that he said that the reason why, and this in the context of all those things that are B'midish or the Maidit, the way you act, that's how you get in return. So Rameir had said, she gave this man that she had an adulterous relationship with all the delicacies of the world. So therefore, that's like a midah keneged midah. So now it's going to be the opposite by you, that your carbon is going to have to be animal food, the opposite of the delicacies of the human type of the chain. So that's what Rimlil heard from Reb Meir. Now, Amalei, so that's what Rimlil said to them. Hatena Hashira, that makes sense for a wealthy woman, and she gave him a spread, but a poor woman that doesn't have delicacies to feed the man that she's having this adulterous relationship with, my Ika Lameima, what are you going to say over there? Why does she have to bring a Michael Behema as a Mida Keneged Mida for Madani Oilam when she doesn't give Madani Oilam to that man? So Ella, rather, that's what Rimlil said in our Mishnah, Keshem Shema Seha Maisa Behema. Just like she acted like the way an animal acts, which is that she just lets herself be free to have cohabitation with another man that's not her mate. So therefore, her sacrifice, her flower offering, also is that of animal food, which is barley, unlike all of the menachas, which is wheat. And the Gemara continues with the next Mishnah, again, continuing on this process of what's done with the Saita. So the Mishnah says, Hayimavi, the Kain would bring Piyale, which is a cup of water, shel cheres, that's made out of earthenware. And he would pour in a half of a lug of water from the kir, which was this type of a fountain, a basin that had the water that the Kohen would wash their hands before they would go into the Duda Avoida. So it says in the Pasuk, by the Saita, that has to be Mayim Kedoshim, holy waters. Now, the only way you get holy waters is that it was sanctified in the vessel, as is Torah in the Sefri. So it had to come from the kir. Behudim, he says that actually it was only revius, only a quarter of a log, not like the Tanakhama said a half a log. So on that, the Mishnah comments, Keshem Shememai, just like a Behuda diminishes the requirement of Biksav, of how much had to be written on this Megillah, the scroll, which is going to be later brought on in the Mishnah of Yitzayin Amid Aleph, that how many words have to be written, which is then put into the water and dissolved. So Kach Memai B'mayim, so too, he diminishes the requirement of how much water is necessary. Just like over there, he doesn't need that many words. Here also he says you don't need a half a lug of water. All you need is a quarter of a lug. Now the Mishnah continues, Nichnis lahechul upon the limina. So the Kayin who got the water from the kir, with half a lug or a quarter of a lug, so he enters into the sanctuary, into the hechel, upon the limina, and he goes to his right. Umakam hayisham, and there was a place over there which was recognizable, different from the rest of the floor of the hechel. There was an amah lama, it was an amah square. B'tavla shel shayish, and it was a floor made out of, it was a tile made out of marble. B'tabas hesekavuaba, and there was a ring that was attached to that tile, where so that he could hold on to the ring and then to be able to pick it up from the rest of the floor, because actually the whole floor was made out of marble. Now kishu magbia, v'nitl ofer mitachteh, where he would then pick it up and he would take earth from beneath that tile. The Nisan Kadesh Yirala Maimon, he would put the earth that it's visible on the surface of the water. In other words, he had to put in enough that it's recognizable, that you can see it doesn't just dissolve into the water. Shtem, like it says, the Pasuk in Bamidbar, Umina Afra Shayi Bakarka Mishkan Yikach HaKayin, that from the earth that's on the ground of the Mishkan, the Kayin should take, V'nosin El HaMaimon, and they should put it into the water. Now, from the fact that it doesn't say V'nosin Bamaim, in the water, rather El HaMaim, to the water, sounds like that it shouldn't totally get dissolved and absorbed in there. You have to put in enough that it'll be recognizable, that you could see the earth in the water. Now, the Gemara brings Tanu Linda Braisa that Piyoli Shulcheres Chadasha, Divri Bishmol. Bishmol says that this earthenware vessel that was used for the water of the Meisaita has to be a new earthenware vessel. So the Gemara says, my time to Rabbi Shmuel. What's the reason, Rabbi Shmuel? Where does he know this, that it has to be new? So that the Gemara says, Gamar Kli Kli Mitzayr. He learns that here it says the word Kli vessel. And it says by Mitzayr, by his processes, it also says vessel. Malahal and Cheres Chadash, just like over there, has to be new earthenware. Avkan Cheres Chadash, here also has to be new earthenware. Now that the Gemara asks, how do we know there by Mitzayr has to be Cheres Chadash? Like it says the Pasuk Vayikra. Says, one of the parts of the avodah of the purification process of Mitzayra is that he slaughters one of the birds, there's two birds, one of the birds into the earthenware vessel, al mayim chayim, that the blood should be poured into the vessel onto live water. Now, ma mayim chayim, just like live water, means shalei nasa ben malachim, it's say that no work was done with it, that's why it's called live, meaning if it was used and it's not like, doesn't have that halacha quality of live, so therefore it's comparing the Kli Cheres to the Mayim Chayim that's in it, is also that no work was done with it, and therefore just like we know by Mitzayr that says Kli, no work was done with that Cheres, so too by Saita has to be Cheres Chadasha. Now that the Gemara asks, so Ima Lahalad Mayim Chayim, but then if you're comparing Saita to Mitzayr, then you should say just like by Mitzayr the water has to be live, Avkan Mayim Chayim, so then also here by the Saita, the water should have to be live water, meaning which comes from a spring, not water that was used or that came from somewhere else. So I think my answer is, Rabbi Shmuel, according to Rabbi Shmuel, that's who you're asking according to, because he's the one that learns Saita from Mitzayra, Hachinami. You're right, that he does require Mayim Chayim by Saita too. Now the reason is because although we said that the water was taken from the Kir, from this basin, but we know that according to Rabbi Shmuel, as the Gemara quotes, the Amar B'Yechanan, says, make here the Kir waters, Rabbi Shmuel Leiman, may Mayim Hain. They actually were waters from a spring, so therefore they were Mayim Chayim. Whereas B'Chacham Leiman, they actually say, Mishar Meimer, and they say that if they wanted to, they could just fill up the Kir from mikvah water and use that water. So, but according to Rabbi Shmuel, you're right. He actually learns up exactly, and it fits in. You know, from Mitzayr, which has Mayim Chayim, actually here by sight, you also get Mayim Chayim because it's coming from the Kir, which has, according to Bishmol, Mayim Chayim. Now, however, the Gemara says, Ikele Mifrach, you could ask regarding this Gzeri Shavar of Rabbi Shmol, who learns out Kli, where Mitzaret says Kli, and you need Cheres Chadasha, and also Mayim Chayim. So too, Saitu, which says Kli, needs Cheres Chadasha. And then the Gemara asked that this is not necessarily a perfect Gzeri Shavar, because Mala Mitzaret, you could say that Mitzaret has certain stringencies, and therefore has the stringency of a Cheres Chadasha. Because by a mitzayra shekein toin eitz eres, when in this process with the waters of the which is held in this cheres chadasha, you need to have the cedar wood, the ezav and the hyssop, which need telos and the red scarlet thread, and therefore maybe his kli needs to be new. But who said that by saita, which you don't need all these things? Who said it has similarly the stringency of being a cheres chadasha? So therefore, Amar Rabba, Amar Kra, rather Rabba brings a different source. And he says, the Pasuk says, Bikli Cheres, in the process of the site, it says that it should be done with an earthenware vessel. And that Rabbah understands, it means Kli Shemati L'Chakvar, it's referring to the earthenware vessel that I have mentioned to you elsewhere. In other words, Rabbah understands from the fact that the Pasuk doesn't say, V'lokach Kli Cheres, that you take an earthenware vessel, V'nosim B'mayim, and put water in there. Rather, it just says you put it Bikli Cheres in the earthenware vessel. So it sounds like that we already know this earthenware vessel, and we've mentioned it somewhere else already before. So that's what the Torah is telling you, that the Kli that I've told you somewhere else, take that type of a vessel, and what's that? That's the one that's mentioned by Mitzayra, where that's where else it mentions that it should be Kli Cheres, and just like over there it should be new, so to Rabbi Shmuel holds, by Saita, it also has to be new. Now Amar Rava, he says that Lo Yishona, we didn't learn the other opinion, which argues on Rabbi Shmuel, the Rabbana of our Mishnah, that hold that it also needs to be Kli Cheres, but they say it's kosher even with an old Kli Cheres. It doesn't have to be new. So that Rabbah clarifies, he says, but it's Elish Aloynes Achmuponov. It's only if the face of the earthenware vessel didn't get blackened by being burnt on the fire. Avnes Achmuponov, Psulim, but if the face got blackened, then it's invalid. So ask the Gemara, my time, what's the reason? Because Dum Yedemayim, it's comparable to water. Now Rashi clarifies, although we're not ultimately, as the Gemara had assumed, learning out the halachas of Saita from the halachas of Mitzayra, But from the halachas of Saita itself, you understand this halacha, that you learn the vessel of the Saita process from the water of the Saita process. Now, moreover, although that, according to the Rabbanan, which again they argue regarding what is the Meikir from, the waters of the Saita are not Mayim Chaim, it's not live waters, because they hold that it's kasher even with other waters, but, and that's what Rab is coming to say, but Ma Mayim Shloi Nishtanu, but just like the waters, even though that they're not live waters, not necessarily from a spring, but they weren't changed, they are as they always were, because if it would be changed, then it would be possible according to everybody. Av Kli Shloi Nishtanu, so too, the vessel cannot be changed, so although it could be old, just like the water could be, but it can't have changed the properties of what it was, and therefore, just like the water can't change, so too, the vessel has to be that it didn't become blackened. Now, related to this, Bayi Rava asked, Nis'achmu v'chziron l'tuch kivshon eish. What's the halacha if it got blackened? But then they put it back into the kiln of the oven of the pottery makers, which is where they make the new klicharis, v'nislavnu, and it got whitened, meaning it got like back fresh again. Maho, what's the halacha with using such a klicharis where it was nis'achmu, but now it's not anymore? Can you use that for the process of the slater or not? So the Gemara explains the question. Do we say that once it's been rejected, this vessel, because it became black, and therefore it's not the same as the water of this Saita, it changed, so therefore it's rejected, even though now you took away the blackness? Or do you say that no, since it came back to its original status, it came back, it's not black anymore? So now the Gemara says, Tashmal, it's being arrived from the following Braisa. Rabbi Elazar Aimer, he says, eight eras regarding the cedar wood, the ezer and the hyssop, the shnit telos, and the scarlet thread, which again we said is one of the is used in the process of mitzayra, shehivshel ben kuposel la'achayrav, that was used to hold his basket behind his back. Meaning you can use any one of these things as string or rope to hold the basket. So on that says the brisa pesulin, they're going to be posel. Now from the fact that it doesn't say because malacha was done with them. Obviously, we're not bothered for the fact that you can't use it because there was work done with it. Rather, because of the change that happened to it. Because when you're carrying the heavy load, so then, let's say, the cedar wood or the scarlet thread got bent out of shape. Now, so on that, the Gemara says, V'hosam hadri mishtati. Those are things that could be returned and bent back straight as they originally were. So obviously, you see, regarding these elements, like the vessel of the Saita and the Mitzayra and the Eitz Eres and the Ezim and Shnei Telos, that once it changed, it got rejected, even though you could straighten it back. So you see, Kivin She'etche Yitzche, so that would be the same thing over here, regarding, although it was black, and now it's not anymore, but once it became black, it's rejected forever. Nothing more says, no Raya. Hasam di ikluf iklufi. There, Rabbi Elazar is talking about where, by carrying the heavy load behind your back, whatever you're talking about, either be it the cedar wood or the hyssop or the scarlet thread, they actually got peeled. Now that's a change which doesn't come back. You can't just straighten it out. It already got peeled and that's already ruined and that's why it's possible. But maybe if it was just bent, maybe actually you would say, keeping the hodder, that it could come back and it's not fully rejected. Therefore, the Gemara doesn't resolve that question. Now, the Mishnah had said that Nichnas Lehechel, the Kohen who has this earthenware vessel with the water inside of it, goes into the Hechel, into the sanctuary, upon the Lemina, and it goes to the right side, Bechulu, etc. So the Gemara says, my time, why is this tile specifically on the right side, why does it go to the right? Damamar, because as the master says, as quoted in Masechtas Yuma, Masechtas Kachim, Kalpina Sh'atapayna, all turns that you turn, Layu Ela Derechimin, should only be to the right side, as we know by the Avodah, by the Mizbech, go to the right side, and therefore, as this is actually learned out from the Yam Sh'asa Shlema, which is the type of the basin where he had all his water, where you see that it was going from right to left, that's how we know that a Jew always goes to the right, and that's why here the tile was to the right side. Now the Mishnah said, "Mokam hayu sham amma v'chulu," that there was an area there was an amma squared, and that's where the tile was. And it was from that tile that they would pick up and take the earth from beneath that. Now, Tanaban Lumna Braisa, that clarifies this halacha. The pasuk says, "Umin ha'ofer ashayia," that from the earth that will be there in the Mishkan. Now, the way the Bach explains the interpretation of Rashi is that if it didn't say the words bakarka, from the earth, rather, if it, let's say it only said in the pasuk Umina afar ashayib mishkan yikach, that from the earth that's in the mishkan, that they should take for the to put into the water to make the site to drink. So then that would say that actually that the Torah was not particular to take the earth from the heichel. Rather, yachol yisaka mimachutz v'yachnis. You would think that they could prepare the earth in the outside, get earth from wherever you want to, v'yachnis, and bring that into the heichel. And that's already considered the earth that was in the heichel. And then you could have the site to drink that water. Tamalayim, that's what the pasuk teaches. No, bakarka ha-mishkan. It's not enough that it came into the ear space of the mishkan. It has to be that the earth from the ground of the mishkan. Now, continues the brisa, but I bakarka ha-mishkan. If we had only expounded, meaning if we only said in the Torah regarding the earth of the Mishkan, and they wouldn't use the words ashayir, that will be, so yochel, you would think that if, let's say, you don't find soft earth that's easily, that you could take and put into this vessel for the meisaita, so you would think yachber bakarduma, said you would have to start digging with spades because you have to get it from the karka Mishkan. Tamalema, that's what the pasuk teaches, ashayir, that will be. What does that mean? What does it mean that there will be? So that's what the Bryce explains. Yesham, if there's earth over there, sahavi, so then you bring from there. Ainsham, if there's no earth, you don't start digging. Rather, tensham, you put earth there. You put earth on the ground, and then you take from that earth that you put on the ground, and then you put that into the water that's in the kli. That's one interpretation of what's done. So we see from the opinion of this first Bryce that they learn that as the simple translation of the pasig in Bamid, but Perakei Pasig Yizayim makes it sound like that the earth that was used for this for the process of the Meisaita had to have been taken from Bekarka HaMishkan, from the ground of the Mishkan. Just telling us that if you don't find over there, then you don't go digging, but rather then it's even Ashayiya, you bring it there and then you take from the ground of the Mishkan. Now, however, Tanya Idach, we learn another Brisa that actually argues on this first Brisa, and this second Brisa actually quotes a Machlokes Tanoim, which the second of those two Tanoim will be like the Tana of our first brisa we brought, which is Isi ben Menachem, as the brisa brings. This brisa learns, says in the pasuk mina ofer ashayir v'gomer, that from the earth there will be in the Mishkan. This Tana Kama learns from the fact that it doesn't say mikarka hamishkan yikach, that it should take from the ground of the Mishkan. It's obviously that you're not particular about that you have to take it from the Mishkan, but rather that you should just bring it into the heichal. It should somehow be in the Mishkan. So Malamed says the Tana Kama, that's actually what they would do. They would actually prepare their earth from wherever they got it from, outside, then just bring it into the heichel, then put it into the water, and you don't have to put it in the ground on the floor of the heichel. So then the Brisa asks, so then Bekarka HaMishkan, when it says that it's in the ground of the Mishkan, what's that for? You're telling me that, according to this Tana, that from the word Ashayiya, you learn that it could just be over there. That's how Afar Ashayiya, and that it doesn't actually have to be from the ground of the Mishkan. It could just be there in the Mishkan. You could bring it in from somewhere else. So why does it say the word Bekarka Mishkan? What's that coming to include or to illustrate if it has nothing to do with the ground of the Mishkan? So on that, Isi ben Yehuda Omer, who he's congruent with the Tanakama of this Brisa, he says, Lehevi Karka, it's coming to include the ground, as we continue on top of Tezayin Men Aleph, of Shiloi, Noiv, V'given, the Beisei Lama, meaning it's coming to express something geographical, not regarding that you have to actually get the earth of the ground, meaning of the Mishkan, but rather to include other grounds, meaning not only when the Beis HaMikdash was in the Mishkan, meaning in the Midbar, but even at later points in time, when it was in Shiloi, or Noiv, or in Given, or the future Beisei Lama, the Beis HaMikdash, where there also you could do the procedures of the Meisaita, not just in the Mishkan, as it was being told to Moshe Rabbeinu in the Midbar, but not because, according to the Tana Kama, that it needs to be actually from the ground of the Mishkan. No, you could just bring it in Ashayiya, as long as it's there in the ear space, but Karka comes to include other things. Now that Isi ben Menachem Eimer, he says no. Ein etzarach. He says, you don't need the word Karka to include other lands, meaning including even the area of the Beis HaMikdash, to say that that's where you could do the Meisaita, because if regarding a lesser level of tuma, which is to come into the Beis HaMikdash with a tumas aguf, where a person has a physical impurity and comes into the Beis HaMikdash, where the other person doesn't get mises bezdin, doesn't get executed by the courts, rather all the person gets is karas, he dies at the hand of heaven, and still loy cholaka kasim, and still the Torah does not differentiate between the Beis HaMikdash and the Mishkan, whereas we find by the parasha of Paraduma, tu psukim, which is ki es mikdash Hashem timei, and es mishkan Hashem timei. One's referencing the Mishkan in the Midbar. One's referencing the Beis HaMikdash, which is that both of them need to be purified before they go into the Beis HaMikdash. So there's no difference between the Mishkan and the Mikdash regarding lesser level tumah. So betumas eishes ish chamur lekalshkin. So then by the tumah, when a woman has an extra a marital affair with another man, which is a pretty severe tumah, meaning in regards to the sin that she's doing it, isn't a kavu chaymer that we would compare the Mikdash to the Mishkan to say that just like the process of the meisaita, which is a way of purifying, almost like the paraduma is to verify if she had sinned or not, isn't it a kolshikin that just like it works in the Mishkan, it would work in the Mikdash, just like we're not differentiating by tumakala between the Mishkan and the Mikdash? So MK in matay malama bekarka Mishkan. So rather says Isi b'menachem. So then, what does the words bekarka Mishkan come to teach if it's not coming to include also the ground of the Beis HaMikdash, just like we see about the Mishkan? Rather, it's coming to teach you shelo yovi mitoch kupasei, that he should not bring it from his box. In other words, to take it straight from his box, wherever he has at home his earth, and to bring it into the vessel and thereby bring it into the Heichal, no, that doesn't work. Not like the way the Tanakhama is saying it. But rather, you have to take it from the ground of the Beis HaMikdash. And if there isn't any dust, any earth over there that you could easily take out, so then you bring from somewhere else and you put it down over there on the ground, and then you take it from there. And that's how you can fulfill both Asher Yiyah, which yes, that does include that will be, meaning that you could bring the dirt, the dust, the dirt from somewhere else. But you'll also fulfill the words Bakarka, which again, as we explained, that was the opinion of the first Braisa, which is that Hakeitza, so how do you have both Asher Yiyah, which is that it could be from outside, and Bakarka that has to be from the ground. So that's how we said that if there is earth that you could take, then you take from the karka. And if not, Ashiyah, you bring it there, but it has to touch the floor, and then you could take it. Again, that's just machlokes tanoim regarding how we understand the psukim of that we said that you come into the Beis HaMikdash, and that's where you get the dirt, the earth from the ground. Is it that you have to bring it and it has to touch the floor, like Isi ben Menachem saying, like the Tanakam in the first Brice, or like the opinion of Isi ben Yehuda, is that no, you just have to bring it in. And this that it says karka, it just references to other places that the sanctuary is going to be, that there also you could do the avodah of the meisaita.